Rabotai, on Fridays we learn Nevi'im. And we're learning the book of Yoshua. And today we're up to Perek Avbet. We do one Perek a week. We don't have any specific order. We just do a Perek every Friday. Sometimes we get lucky. And the story of Yoshua coincides with the Perashah. Not always. But happens to be this week, the Perek that we have is a bullseye to the Perashat HaShavua. So we got lucky. It seems we get lucky every week, but we got lucky again. Az Yikra Yoshua la Uveni velagadi velahatzi matem menashe. So at that point, after the Jewish people conquered Eretz Yisrael, it took them 7 years to do that, and then it took them an additional 7 years to divide it amongst the people. So that was 14 years. As at that point over there, Yeshua calls the tribes of Reuven and Gad and Hatzi Shevet Menashe. Vayomer Alehem. Atem shemartem et kol asher siva etchem Moshe Eved Adonai. Vatishme'u bekoli lechol asher siviti etchem. So the Yeshua says, listen, you are obedient. You listen to everything that you told Moshe, that Moshe commanded you, and you listen to me. What does it mean? Lo azavtem et achechem ze yamim rabim ad hayom hazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu told you that you're going to have to fight as vanguards, halutzim, and you did that. You stayed 7 years and you helped us fight. Not only that, ushmartem et mishmeret mitzvat Hashem Elokechem, that you also fulfilled what you promised. They themselves promised on their own to stay an additional 7 years. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say that. Moshe Rabbeinu said, all you have to do is, if you want to stay on the other side of the Jordan, you can't leave us. We need soldiers. So you have to fight. They said, we'll fight. Not only will we fight, but we'll fight on the front lines. And then they told Moshe, we're going to do more than that. We're not going to go back home until everybody gets settled. Now, they don't know how long that's going to last. It ends up lasting another 7 years. So that's a very generous donation. You donate another 7 years of your life to Klai Yisrael. Ve'ata iniach Adonai Elohim la'achem kashir dibed lahem ve'ata penu ulchu lachem la'aholechem. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, go home. El eres ahuzatchem asher natan lachem Moshe eved Adonai ve'eved ha'yerden. So he tells them, you can go back home. They're able to go home. So the pasuk says, "Rak shimru meod la'asot et ha-mitzvah v'et ha-torah asher sivah etchem Moshe eved Hashem le'ahava et Adonai Elohechem." וללכת בכל דרכיו ולשמוע מצוותיו ולדבקבו ולעובדו בכל לבבכם ובכל נפשכם. It's incredible מוסר, he tells them. שמרו מאוד את כיפות המצוות, התורה, לאהבת השם, ללכת בכל דרכיו, לשמוע מצוותיו ולדבקבו ולעובדו בכל לבבכם ובכל נפשכם. So that's a... That's a tremendous beracha or tremendous musar. Why do they get this great musar? So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot that there was a rabbi called Rabbi Yoseh ben Kisma. And it says one day Rabbi Yoseh ben Kisma was walking on the road. It says, Ufagabi Adam Echad, and a man bumped into me. Ba'amar li shalom, ve'azarti lo shalom. And we shared greetings. And he said, Rabbeinu, me'eze makom ata. Where do you come from? In Jayer. Amarti lo, me'ir shel hakamim ve'sofrim. I come from a city of scholars. So he said, Amar li, ritzoncha shetadur imanu. You want to come live with us? Ve'niten lecha elef alfe alafim. We'll pay you a lot of money, Rabbi. Come live with us. Amar lahem, afilu im teten li kol ma'ot sheba'olam, en idar ela b'makom Torah. He said, even if you give me all the money in the world, I'm only going to live in a place of Torah. Obviously, they needed a rabbi this place. That's why they offered him the job. They need somebody to come to this, you know, obviously it was a resort place. They were offering all sorts of money. Rich people are living over there. And they tell him, listen, we need a guy to come along and mehazek. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma comes along and says, there's something more important than money. And that is environment. Environment. And that's called makom Torah, a place of Torah. He said, all the money in the world cannot replace a good environment. You're asking me to go live in a place over here where there's no religious people? How are my children going to be raised? How is my wife going to be raised? How is my grandchildren going to be raised over here? Although you might benefit, because I could teach you Torah, but in the interim, who's going to be the sacrifice? The sacrifice is going to be the Rabbi Yosef Kisma Mishpachto. So he said, if you give me all the money in the world, any dar ela b'mekom Torah. The Rambam says a person is a product of his environment. The derech b'niyato shel adam, the nature of a person is to get influenced by his seviva. That's a fact. So b'negarim b'nere uven, they were now going to live away from Klal Yisrael. They were moving to the city. Mm-hmm. They're going on the other side of the water, the other side of the bridge. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, be careful. Yoshua ben Nun tells them, be careful. You're going to live on the other side of the bridge. Over there, it's not a Makom Torah. Over there, it's all Goyim over there. By us, on our side, we got rid of all the Goyim. We got rid of the seven nations. We got rid of 31 kings. Eretz Yisrael is a Makom Torah. And you have the majority of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. That's a Makom Torah. But you gentlemen, for some monetary advantages, you decided to go live on the other side. Be very, very careful. You're rolling dice on the other side. And therefore Yoshua ben Nun has to give them a very stern warning. A warning that he does not have to give the Jewish people who decided to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Because those that stay in Eretz Yisrael through osmosis, they'll be Shomrei Torah and Mitzvot. Because you have a chizuk from the people. But over here he says, Rak, you have to be very careful. Shimru me'od. Yeshua doesn't waste his words. You need not a shemira. You need a shemira yetera. You need an extra shemira to keep the Torah and the Mitzvot. So ultimately, it's not ideal what Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven were doing over here. They were leaving the Torah community. And it says in Haggadah Shel Pesach, Rasha. So it says by the Rasha, he says, Lachem ולא לא. ולפי שהוציא עצמו מן הכלל, כפר בעיקר. And the Haggadah says, ולפי שהוציא את עצמו מן הכלל, once a person מוציא himself from the כלל, the next step is כפר בעיקר. It's automatic. In the כלל, you have גדרים, you have certain rules, you cannot become פורק עול. But once you motzi et atzmo min haklal, you want to go live somewhere else alone. Shlomo HaMelech was right when he said,
The ta'ava yivakesh nifrad. That a person wants to be alone. Why? The ta'ava. Otherwise, why does he want to be alone? Why did Lot leave Avraham? Why would he leave? Monetary benefit. And what? Once he left Avraham, what does it say? Efshi be'Avraham velo belohav. He didn't just say, I don't want Avraham. It started with, I don't want to be with Avraham. But it leads to the God of Avraham as well. Now, of course, he moved to Sodom with intention, I'll be mekarev them, I'll mehazek them, and then we need a shul over there. Then, by the way, there's so many people living in Sodom. It's a good thing. All the same story that you hear today. What happened when he got to Sodom? Forget about it. Forget about it. At the end, what happened to Lot? If it wasn't for David HaMelech that came out of him, they would have killed Lot also. So therefore, one has to be very careful when he makes decisions where he decides to live. When a person decides to go over the bridge, even though he might have very, very lofty reasons, but he has to think 100 times, what are the consequences of the negative? There was one rabbi that said that anytime you make a decision, you always have to ask yourself, not how much good is going to come out of it, how much bad is going to come out of it. You know, we always think, if I go, it'll be this, I'll get there, we know the good. Now give me the negatives that come out of it. That's what you have to put on the scale. So this was the challenge of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. By Barichem Yoshua, Yoshua blesses them. He has to give them a beracha. He gives them a beracha because they need the beracha. Vayishalechem vayilechu ila aholehem, and they went back home. Now there's an amazing midrash that says
children,
that this is two tribes over here that haven't been with their wives for 14 years.
Mm.
You'd expect that these tribes would become smaller in population, all because you're not reproducing. For 14 years, there's no births in the tribes of Reuven and Bnei Gad. But the Midrash says something incredible. That not only were there no births in the tribes of Reuven and Bnei Gad, but there were no deaths either. That in 14 years, nobody died on either side. And therefore, the population remained, you know, stable. Whereas in a regular tribe, you have a person who's born, person dies, it usually evens out to some degree. Huh?
More people are born.
Oh, yeah, in those days also it was like that?
Okay.
How do you know? From Penn Station? From the thing on Penn Station? You see the people are being born? What are you looking at? How do you know? What's your source for that? The numbers on Penn Station, the people that are being born. You're watching it all there. So it goes faster than the one in the cemetery that's going now. Okay, kol hakavod. Now he knows that. Anyway, the point over here is, it's a miracle. So the Mefarshim say that, where did this blessing come from? Where did this blessing come from that nobody died from these two tribes? So it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was blessing the tribe of Reuven, what does it say? Yehi Reuven ve'al yamot. Ve'im etav mispar. That blessing of Yehi Reuven ve'al yamot gave a beracha that Moshe Rabbeinu saw in the future that Reuven is going to need a beracha of population. And also when God was blessed, Yaakov Avinu blessed God. God gedud yigudenu means they're going to have gedudim. They're going to have, you know, groups and groups. Gedud yigudenu. The groups of God remain strong. And also in Devarim, where's Devarim? We have Devarim over there. This is Devarim.
Oh no, this is Bamidbar.
This is Bamidbar. Bring a regular chumash. I can have it over. I can find it over here. One second. I have the chumash over here. That chumash I can find.
There we go.
So what does it say by Bnei Gad? It says by Bnei Gad, and Reuven when they blessed him. Yeah. And he blessed him in Sefer Zot HaBeracha. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. What does he say?
Gad Amar. Aha. Gad Amar. Baruch Marhiv Gad. Baruch Marhiv Gad. That God, even though they're going to be away for many years, Marhiv Gad. And the Pasuk says over here that God actually had a barakah of that. So therefore, the Pasuk writes by Barakim Yoshua, he blesses them before they go back. He blesses them, number one, like we said, that they should succeed in a place that's not a Makom Torah. And he blesses them because they kept their word. They kept their word. They go back to their tents, meaning their wives. So the tribe of Menasheh was also split in half. So he sent them as well. Rashi says, "Lachasi shevet Menasheh kasher shalach et bnei Reu ben bnei Gad." He sent Lachasi shevet Menasheh with them. "Vayomer aleihem lemor benchasim rabim shuvu el aholechem." ובמקנרב מאוד, בחס וזהב, בן חושד וברזל, ובסלמות הרבה מאוד. חלקו שלל אויביכם עם אחיכם. Which means, now they had to divide the spoils of Eretz Israel. So they had to give the spoils also to these 2.5 tribes that are about to go back. וישובו וילכו בני ראובן ובני גד ועשישים ונשים את בני ישראל. וישובו. It says they returned. Vayelechu, and they went. Mishilo, they left from Shilo, Asheberes Kenaan, Laleket El Eres Agilad. Now, what does it mean by Yeshuvu? It says already in the pasuk before that he sent them. Vaybarechem Yoshua, Yoshua blesses them, and they went. Vayelechu El Aolehem. Now it says Vayeshuvu, Vayelechu Benedu Vemasigad Yoshem Ed. Mazi Vayeshuvu, they were home already. So the Gemara learns over here an amazing halakha. The Derech Eretz is that before a student leaves the city, he has to get permission from his rabbi. He has to go to the Rav first and get permission and get a beracha before he goes. That's a Derech Eretz. However, the Gemara then says that what happens if the student gets permission from his rabbi and he ends up getting delayed and he stays overnight? So now he has to go back to his rabbi and ask for permission again. Talmid shelan ba'ir, a student that slept over in the city, sadik la'zor ulbakesh reshut. He has to go back to the Rav to get permission. It's derech eretz. The Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who was teaching Masichat Nedarim to 2 students. That Rabbi Yonatan is one of them, and Rabbi Shimon. And these were great tzaddikim. They were students of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. He was teaching them, Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yehuda. Those are the 2 rabbis he was teaching. And what happened? They made a siyum on Masichat Nedarim. So they said, okay, Rabbi, we're going back home. So what happened? They said, we want a beracha. He said, you have a beracha. Good luck. The next day, they come back to Rabbi Shimon. And they said, we want a beracha. We're leaving. So what do you mean? You left already. We gave you beracha yesterday. But you taught us that if we stay overnight, we have to come back. He says, oh. Rabbi Shimon was impressed. He says, these people over here, Anshe Surahim. Anshe Surah means they're men of stature, they're men of dignity, meaning they have the proper... How would the rabbi know if they stayed overnight or not? We don't know. You leave. You go back to the... Which is, they're at the end of the city. The hotel is next to the airport. Now you got to go all the way back to the city, tell the rabbi goodbye again. Who's going to know? But they came back. So the Mishnah was impressed. So it's an impressive thing to go back and ask for permission. So the Mefaratim say over here, something incredible happened there. That night, they were supposed to leave. But they ended up staying overnight. Why? What happened? Why did they stay overnight? So the Mefaratim say, because Yeshua, when the tribes were going back home, he escorted them. There's a mitzvah called Levaya. The mitzvah to escort somebody. So they're going back home. So he walked them. Right? Levaya. So he walks them to the border. When he got to the border, they told him, okay, Yeshua, Toda Rabba, Yeshua, Beracha, fine. Now Yeshua turns around. Now Yeshua used to always travel with an entourage. When they turned around, they said, we're going to let Yeshua walk back. So they decided to themselves, we have to make an entourage back, to walk him back. So they did amazing chesed to Yeshua. They walk him back to the they made a U-turn. It was a wasted item. He walked them to the border. And then they told him, he says, good luck. And then they said to themselves, we're going to let the rabbi walk back alone. Aram. So what did they do? They walked him back. Now when they walked back already, it was night. So they had to stay overnight. So they had to come back. So the pasuk says, "Vayeshubu vayelechu." They went back
for Yeshua.
For Yeshua. So these were tremendous people. Now I want to make a point over here, Rabotai. What I just told you is something that is incredible. You have to think of what's going on over here. These are men that did not see their wives and children for 14 years. You know what this means? The ge'guim that you have, the anticipation that you have as the time is getting to the end. You know you're counting down. Better than that, if a guy's in prison and he knows he has a certain amount of time and then he's free to go home. The guy is Sefirat HaOmer, Ayom, Yom, he's counting down. And here, B'nei Gad B'nei Uven. That means if they left their child when they were 7 years old, now he's 21 years old. I mean, they missed the whole childhood. They don't want to miss another day of this. Could you imagine the excitement that they want to go back to see the family? The Ge'guim are incredible. And now, not only that, they get to the border. You know what the border is? The border is, like, you ever go to the airport to pick up somebody? So when you're waiting over there in Kennedy by the terminal, and now you see them coming out. You see they have a sign. Hey, Baruch Abba, welcome over here. And they're coming out. Now you're going crazy. Everybody starts to tear, and you see they're crying, and they run to each other, and they hug each other, and they get all, you know what I'm talking about? You ever see this happen over here? Huh? International arrival. Azaka Baruch. Azaka Baruch. They didn't see people in years. They're waiting for them. They're hugging them. They're kids. They're going crazy. Yeshua walks B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven to the international arrivals terminal, to the border. Who's standing at the border? The family, the children. There's a whole entourage waiting. Can you imagine when you see them now? You see your wife that you didn't see in 14 years. It's like Rabbi Akiva. You see your wife, your natural tendency is what? You run. And by the way, run away.
Joe, Baruch
Abba. You're listening? Okay. The natural, you, even if not for your wife, for your children, your grandchildren, B'nei Gad, B'nei Reuven. By the way, you think your show would be makpid? Forget about the entourage. By the way, you think you had no entourage? It wasn't walking back alone. Yeah, there's people with him. At this point over here, with all the desire to go back and see their wife and children, they come along and with superhuman givurah, I don't know where you get this givurah from, they say the right thing is over here to control our natural urge to go see our family. We have to walk back to Yeshua. And could you imagine the family? There he is, oh, he's making a U-turn. Maybe they'll go back for another 14 years. Well, who knows? This is the gadlut of B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven. It wasn't stam that they walked back to Yehoshua. The conditions that they overcame in order to follow the halakha. This is the halakha. Halakha is you have to kavod rab. You can't let him be alone. Yeah, but the hacham is mochel. The rab is mochel. Go enjoy your... Question is why? Why did they... do such a mesirut nefesh to walk Yeshua? I'm sure Yeshua was mocheh, like I told you. If you ask Yeshua, should we walk you all the way back? Now you, it's another day. It's another day you have to wait. By the way, I don't know how to compare this to you. You know, imagine they delay winter vacation by one day for the kids. You know, it's a big thing. They're already counting winter vacation from December. They're counting the days now. Now they come along and say, no, you're not leaving Wednesday, you're leaving Thursday. Oh, Thursday, 24 hours is forever. And here, they're willing to give it up. The explanation is like this.
That's why they don't give it in Altered.
That's why they don't give it in Altered. That's right. That's right. So they all sneak. So if they're Iver, they cause them to sneak. They all sneak. I'm in Florida. They're all there. I don't have to sneak. I go. Now, watch over here. Watch over here, Rabotai. So now, explanation is like this. There's a concept called Teshuvat HaMishkal. What is Teshuvat HaMishkal? When a person is supposed to make Teshuvah, you're supposed to try to make Teshuvah with the same Avon, to make the Tikkun in the same way. Like the Rambam writes, if he had a desire, he finds himself in the same desire, and he controls himself, Teshuvat HaMishkal, which means you balanced it. Which is not enough to say Chatat Aviti Pashati. The situation has to present itself again, and you're able to control yourself this time. That's called a complete teshuvah. Where's the classic case of Teshuvat HaMishkal? Chaim Baruch Hu used to bring this example of Teshuvat HaMishkal, just so you get an understanding of it. What happened? The brothers bring down Binyamin to Egypt because Yosef wants to put his eyes on Binyamin. He wants to see him. And then what does Yosef say? No problem, you can all go home. You can all go home, just leave me Binyamin. All of a sudden, Yehuda goes berserk. Yigash elav Yehuda. Yigash elav Yehuda. He wanted to destroy all Egypt, it says. He started to roar. There's nothing to talk. We'll all stay here. We'll all stay here as slaves and let Benjamin go home. That's what they said. What was Yosef doing over there? Because, what was the Avon? The Avon was that when their younger brother was in trouble, they didn't protect him. So now he said, let me see if they make Teshuvat HaMishkal. Now your younger brother Binyamin's in trouble. Are you going to protect him or are you going to let him... If they would have said, all right, keep Binyamin, 10 against 1, we'll go home. Said, no. We're going to stay as slaves forever. When they said we're going to be slaves, they thought we're going to be slaves forever. That means you're going to be a slave forever? They said, yeah, put us in jail forever. Let Binyamin go home. At that point over there, Yosef already couldn't control himself. When he saw that they made Teshuvat HaMishkal, that the Avon they did 22 years ago, now with the same variables came again. Deja vu. And they fixed it, finished. That's already complete. That's a perfect example of Teshuvat HaMishkal. Now we have we go further. What was the Avon over here, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven over in Rabotai? That's a very important, it's Al Parashah as well. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, we want to go on the other side of the Jordan. Cool. Rabbi Dessler, as many of the Hakamim, they explain it, that first of all, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven belonged on that side. Misheshet Yemei Maaseh Bereshit, they belonged on that side. And they knew they belonged on that side. Why? Rabbi Dessler says, everybody has to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu according to the what Borei Olam provides them. If he has a good voice, he has to be the Hazan. If he has money, he has to give tzedakah. If he has strength, he has to do chesed. Everybody has to know the kohot and then use those kohot to serve the Borei. Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, they were blessed with a lot of cattle. So they understood that if that's the berachah that God gave them, they must live in a place that's suitable for cattle. There's no chokmah to come along and say, God gave us his blessing, burn it. What do you burn it? That's the blessing. You're supposed to have cattle. And the only place where you can be living with cattle, that's God's tikkun for them, is Ma'ivir HaYerden. So he says, they knew they had to live there. And he says, as a matter of fact, it was great mesirut nefesh for them to live according to their tikkun. You know, everybody wants to be somebody else. Everybody wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. We can't. We don't have that luxury based on what God is putting us in. Our purpose is to be Eved HaYerden people. We have no choice. So it's a great sacrifice. Don't think it was like they were coming along and saying, we don't care if it's in the Ture Kartas. We don't care about Eretz Yisrael. We want to live in Chutz La'aretz and we want to have money. Hatu Shalom. This was a tremendous sacrifice for them to say, this is what God wants. And guess what, by the way? If it was the wrong thing, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have given it to them in the end. He wouldn't have given it to them.
Which means, at the end of the day, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Fine. What's it fine? If a guy comes along and says, I want to eat taref. So he yelled at him, what? You want to eat taref? Has for shalom, you know what taref is? Tum alev, this is a big avonah. Okay, you know what? Eat it. If it's taref, how can he give it to them? Moshe Rabbeinu should never have given in to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. If a guy comes along and just wants to do something wrong, we don't care what your reason is. There's no, we're going to be vanguards. We're going to fight. You're going to fight. If you tell the rabbi, I want to eat a ham sandwich. You cannot eat a ham sandwich. I'm going to give tzedakah. Oh, I was just saying, you give tzedakah first. You give tzedakah, fine. How much tzedakah are you going to give? I'm going to give $100 plus another $100. $200 tzedakah? Chavod, chavod, eat it. Enjoy it. Sahten. Two sandwiches. If it's wrong, it's wrong. El the pshat is, it wasn't wrong. They had to be on that side. So what are we going crazy for? What are we always knocking Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven? So Rabbi Dessler writes, if you look at the Midrash quotes of Pasuk, and it says, it was Nahala Mivuhelet. Nahala Mivuhelet means that they were too excited about it. Too excited. So it means certain things are necessary evils, or necessary whatevers. But the fact that they came to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu saw a certain, eagerness or want to do something like this. Now, there's no claim. I should want to do something that's right. You're right, but it's Chos La'aretz. It's not ideal. You're right, Shitikun. So, Midrash, on these great tzaddikim, is able to sense, you're too excited to do this mitzvah over here. You know, you have to, it's like the law of Irani Dahat. The law of Irani Dahat is if you see a city in Israel that they worship Avodah Zarah, you got to go kill the whole city out. But it doesn't mean you have to smile when you're killing everybody. You have to kill Jews. You're killing Jews over here. You're not excited. You have to do it. But the guy that comes in and does it with all excitement. So the Midrash refers to the Avon of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven too fast. Too... So they understood what Moshe Rabbeinu rebuked them. So what did they say to themselves? We need to make the Shabbat a Mishkal. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, you got to be vanguards. You have to fight. They said, we're going to fight. But not only that, because you said we ran too fast, we're going to stay until the Nahala is divided. Now that Moshe didn't tell them to have to do. That's their own item. Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's the way to Shabbat a Mishkal. The fact that you added, that means you're not running back to the other side. Here you came too fast to run to the other side. Now they say, no, we're not running back at all. And now the teshuvah is teshuvah gemura. Finally, when they get to the other side, and they can smell it, they can already see it, they can already feel it, now they come along and say, one more night, that shouldn't be nahala mevuhelet. So they turn back. And at that moment over there, they reached tremendous, tremendous madrigot in teshuvah. The fact that you can be at the border and you want to show that we're not running to go on the other side. Although we're going to have to end up there, an extra night. That extra night is like an extra year in time. And that's why they felt that although Yeshua is mohel them, you don't have to walk me back. We're not doing this for Yeshua only. We're doing this in order to make the ultimate tikkun that we had a problem 14 years ago. So this is full circle what happened to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Fine, yishtabach boreh. What happens? So they come back, and of course, who knows what Berakah Yeshua gave him the second day. The second day's Berakah must have been, Berakah kefulam chupelet. If they got a Berakah on the first day, the fact that they stayed overnight, Yeshua understood the kabanot, so they got a tremendous Berakah. Vayavo'u el gililot ha-yarden. Now they get to the Yarden. Vayivnu'u, here it is. Now this is the part, by the way, that you don't have in the parasha. This is like very important to read this chapter in the Navi, because our parasha ends and they went to the other side of the Jordan. Whatever, that's it. Now what? But what happened when they got there? The Navi tells us what happened. Something incredible happens. Vayavo'u el gililot ha-yarden. Asher be'eres Kena'an. ויבנו בני ראובן ובני גד ועשי שבט המנשה שם מזבח על הירדן מזבח גדול למראה.
they built a mizbeach on the Canaan side. They built this big mizbeach, humongous altar. The pasuk says they only built it lemar'eh. Lemar'eh means for show. They built this big monument, mizbeach, tremendous of size, on the Canaan side. What was their kavanah? This was not a functional mizbeach. The pasuk says lemar'eh. It was for show. Why would they build the mizbeach for show? Well, first of all, you know, you're not allowed to bring any korbanot in Eved LaYarden. You're not allowed to bring korbanot on the border either. You have the Mishkan. So what's the purpose to build a monument like this? The Malbim says the kavanah was pure. They heard Yehoshua's Musar. You're leaving a Makom Torah. So they wanted to build this monument for their children. So they should remember that the Ikar is on the other side. The Ikar, when their father's going to ask them, Daddy, what's this big gigantic monument at the... you know where we built that? In order to teach you that the main Mizbeach, the main Kedushah, is in Eretz Kena'an. We came over here because we had no choice. But if you have a chance when you get older, Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz is not a Makom Torah in the places where we are. So this was for themselves as a, and it was also a signal to Klal Yisrael that don't think we're separating from you. The traditions that we have is the traditions of Eretz Yisrael. And this Mizbeach shows us that we're connected to the other side. We need to leave a helik of ourselves on the other side. So what helik did they leave? The Mizbeach, which represents the Korbanot, which represents the religion. And then they were saying, we're one nation. This was was a good kavanah of B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven. It's a lesson to their children that they have to build a connection between the two communities. And they're telling the other side, Rabotai, we're not abandoning any of the minhagim. The Mizbeach is in Eretz Yisrael. And we're willing to follow all of the minhagim of Eretz Yisrael, so to speak. But what happened? You know what happens when you do something l'mar'eh? When you do something for show, you fall into the problem of marit ayin. You know what you're doing it for, but the people don't know what you're doing. You know when you're going into McDonald's to go to the bathroom. But the guy who's watching from far, he thinks you went in to get a Big Mac, whatever you call it. To get a toy.
Happy meal,
exactly. So now, Marit Ayin. Now you're going to read a story of the worst Marit Ayin in history. Could you imagine if you're on the other side in Israel? Already B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, and they left. It's already, one day out of the fold, and all of a sudden they're building this big giant Mizbeach. That's it. They're building Bet Honyo. They're building their own Bet Mikdash. They're building their own action. They're starting their new religion on the other side. Look at these people. Yehoshua was right. What kind of Makom Torah is this over here? How fast did they get influenced? They build this giant Mizbeah. Don't they know it's Shchutehutz? This is Hayav Karet, what they're doing over here. They have no idea of the intention of B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven. They have no idea. They see a big Mizbeah being built up. They start screaming foul. So the pasuk says, "Vayishmeu bnei Yisrael lemor." They heard. Did you hear? Hine banu bnei Reuven ubnei Gad v'azishem Hashem et hamizbeach. They built the mizbeach el mul eres kenar el gliot haYerden. Vayishmeu bnei Yisrael vayikahalu kol adat bnei Yisrael shilo la'alot alehem la'sava.
Wow.
Tolerance. Tolerant people. They saw that B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven are now going to do this Avodah Zarah. What'd they do? They said, that's it. It's war. War. Finish. Get the armies. We're going to go to war. Not like today. Today when we see the people, the community that are doing all these types of Averot, we come along and say, quiet, it'll go away by itself. Close your eyes, look the other way. The main thing is, worry about yourself and your children, forget about everybody. They didn't have that attitude over there.
they saw already a mizbeah and they said, you're starting to go off, you're making a left turn. They didn't wait till the left turn turned into full-fledged Avodah Zarah. They didn't wait until this mizbeah turned into Christianity. That would have been too late already. They said, we have to nip this in the bud immediately. They saw it and said, war. This holy war they're fighting over here. Now again, they're wrong. It happens to me they're wrong. Okay, you're right. But Klai Yisrael, you know, in this case over here, the odds that is that they're right. I mean, they went to the other side, there's Goyim on that side, and so on and so forth. Not only that, I'll tell you another reason why it's subject to believe what happened over here. A big yesod in religion. This we see a lot. What I'm telling you now is a big yesod. Sometimes when a person takes a very big fall in his religion, it's very difficult for him to come back. Because he finds himself in such a bad avonot that he made, and bad sins and terrible crimes. And the Yetzirah comes along and tells the guy, what teshuvah, you're going to make teshuvah? You did things that are... And the guy gets depressed from what he did. And then the Yetzirah tells him, listen, you know, might as well just go and enjoy yourself because, you know, there's really no hope for you. A lot of times that happens. That people that veer off the path too much, they have a difficult time coming back. They feel so guilty in what they did that they can't make the teshuvah. Whereas a guy, you know, he makes a small little sin, okay, but a guy really goes off the deep end, a mumar, a guy commits all sorts of averot. Then to make the teshuvah, that's what you have today, for example. These kids that go off the derech, they have a very hard time making teshuvah. Because they came from religious families and they saw everything and they still went against their father, they still went against their tradition, they still changed everything. Now when it's time to come back, it's difficult for them to come back. They feel so rotten on what they did, the Yitzhak. I'll give you a perfect example of it. Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya was a great guy, was a Tana. But what happened? He got involved in bad things. He got involved in such bad things where all of a sudden he got involved in znut, in immorality. I mean, he went off. He got involved in all stuff. Hilul Shabbat. There's a Tana that's involved in Hilul Shabbat and znut. And he heard a voice come out of the Holy of Holies on Kippur, and the voice basically said, "Shuvu banim shovavim." Everybody could make the shuvah. Except for Elisha. Now he heard a voice that says, listen, everybody can make the teshuvah, but you, Elisha, you're out. Now what does it mean you're out? It doesn't mean that. Rabbi Dessler explains it like this. Borei Olam says, if a person makes a sin, to a certain degree, God says, I'm going to help you back. I'm going to motivate you to come back. You see it a lot of times in life. People that are, you know, doing bad things, all of a sudden they get a wake-up call. Something happens. That's God waking them up and saying, listen, I do not forsake any Jew. And then I'm going to give you a chance. Hold on to the rope. Guy's drowning. The lifeguard throws in a rope. Grab the rope. Well, he'll always send the person a rope. He'll always send her. He doesn't want to see the guy drown. Ki lo yahpots bemot amet. Ki im b'shuvo midarko b'hayab. Borei Olam wants the people to make the shuvu. Amar Hashem. God says, return. And ki yaminechat b'shuta, like a lifeguard, his hand is out in order to bring. However, when a person reaches certain levels where he really goes to the deep end, to the lowest madrigot, Borei Olam tells the person, of course you can make the shuvah, but I can't help you anymore. I can't help you. Shuvu banim shovavim. God tells all the other people, shuvu, let me help you come back. Elisha, you can come back. But because you went to such low levels, you have to swim back yourself. But you can come back. But what are you seeing over here?
He needs the offer.
Obviously, he got ropes. Obviously, he got... By the way, that was the rope. The fact that he even heard that voice. Borelam is telling him, listen, you've reached rock bottom. The si'ata d'shmaya that comes from God to regular people, you've already wasted that joker already. You wasted that card. Now you're going to have to swim back yourself. But you could swim back. Because if you couldn't swim back, then the Hazrat is not fair. It's just going to take extra kohot. Most people, even Elisha, didn't have those kohot. He couldn't swim back by himself. He needed the rabbis to pray for him after he passed away to get him out of Gehinnom. That's how he got saved. After the death. He couldn't... Listen. You know, imagine a Jewish guy becomes who knows what. A priest or something. Come make the Shuvah. What the Shuvah? What the Shuvah? You guys were in the church for 30 years. Make the Shuvah. Sometimes you reach a certain point where it's almost the point of no return. Now watch what happens. I'm giving you what B'nai Yisrael are thinking. I'm trying to put you now in the brain of B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael, they see B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven leave Eretz Yisrael. They move to the other side of the bridge. They come along and they say, Miskinim Elu. They left Eretz Yisrael. They left the community. They went to the other side. What a avon these people did. They hear the rebuke that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them before when they came for it. Now they hear the rebuke that Yeshua gives them before. They should have abandoned it. They should have stayed on this side over here. They went. Klai Yisrael said they're probably so depressed from that decision. You know what you do when you're depressed? You just go, that's it. Eat and be merry today, for tomorrow you shall die. That's it. So when they saw them build the Mizbeah, they said this is a reaction to the Avon that they did. Now they're just going, that's it. They're Porek all to the highest degree now. Now they don't care anymore. Now they're just going to do whatever they want. So they understood the psychology. They were wrong. It was the exact opposite. B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven wanted to preserve the connection. But B'nai Yisrael on the other side, they're only reading, you know, according to the logic. And their logic told them that this is a big mistake. This is a classic misunderstanding that's going to go on over here. They're doing something in the pure righteousness. And Klai Yisrael is interpreting it. Abu Dazara. וישלחו בני ישראל אל בני ראובן ובני גד ועשירים אשר יסגרה את פינחס בן אלעזר הכהן. Unbelievable. Alper Asher, all these same rabbis, same tzaddikim. Who do they send? The Kanai. Oh, Pinchas, get your Roma out. And be ready over here. They're gonna... These people over here are Avdei Avodah Zarah. Unbelievable. They send up Pinchas. Va'asara nisi'im imo. Whole delegation. 10 nisi'im. Nasi'ehad lebet av. Every tribe has to send a nasi'. Va'yavo'u el b'nei Reuven v'b'nei Gad v'nei Asher Siglad va'ydaberu. Va'ydaberu is strong lashon. Ko amiru kol adat Hashem. So says the people, we have a message from you, from the other side. Mahamma'al azeh asher me'altem b'loei Yisrael. What is this me'ilah? This abuse that you're involved in. Lashuv ayom ma'aleh Hashem. You're returning from God, you're turning your backs to God. Bibnotechem lachem mizbeach. You built a mizbeach. Lemordechem hayom b'Hashem. Could you imagine what B'nai Gad and B'nai hearing this? The whole committee's there. They're reading a proclamation. Hear ye. On behalf of the Jewish community of Eretz Yisrael. In the name of Yeshua ben Nun. In the name of Pinchas ben Elazar. What are you doing over here? You are mordim. You are poshim of the Avod Azara. And listen what they tell them. Hama'at lanu et avon peor. You didn't learn from the Avon of Peor. We're still trying to purify ourselves from this Avon.
You didn't learn when we did Avodah Zarah and Pe'ot, 24,000 people died on the spot from Shevet Shimon, and then hundreds of thousands of others died as well, like the Ramban brings down. I mean, B'nai Rehoboam, you have to feel bad for them. I'll tell you why I have to feel bad for them, because they're always being misunderstood, these people. Same thing happened in Moshe's time. You know, all they came is they said, we want to go live on the other side of the Jordan. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you people, you didn't hear what happened to the spies? They're always reminding them of another event that they think they forgot about. They said, no, you misunderstood me. We didn't say we don't want to fight. We want to fight. We love Eretz. Oh, okay, fine, misunderstanding. I don't know why they always get misunderstood, these guys. But you know what the greatness of these Shematim are? When the rabbi is giving you musar, you don't answer. If you're getting lambasted at this point, you say, hold it. Keep quiet for a minute, hold it. You're wrong. You know what the explanation is? The rabbis of musar say, when somebody's giving you a musar, like your father, even though he's wrong, put it in the bank. Put it in the bank for another time. It's good to hear musar from your father. Because your father's not going to be around always. So if he's giving you a musar, he's going to tell you good advice, obviously. Maybe it doesn't apply now because he's reading the case wrong. But in life, it's good to hear your father's opinion, what he believes is the right thing for you to do and the wrong thing. So don't interrupt him. Never interrupt a good musar. When your father's giving you on the head, listen, it's always money in the bank, because your father's advice is pure advice. Instead, what's the knee-jerk reaction of the child? Dad, hold it, you're wrong. You know what you're talking about. He's wrong. He'll be right in a different case. The musar is always right. Whether it applies or not, big deal. Mm-hmm. So B'nai Gad and B'nai are amazing. In Parashat Matot, Moshe lambasts them. Only after he finishes, they say, Ya Bishu, Hakam Moshe. That wasn't our intention. Mm. But the musar is good. Same thing happens here. 10 rabbis are coming from the other side. Hear ye. Harem, Me'ilah, Kapara, all this stuff over here. And what's the reaction when they get over there then? They know they're ready. They listen. And only after they're going to get lambasted, they say, by the way, you made a mistake. And of course, they'll say, how come you didn't tell us before? It's okay. It's a musar. Listen, if anybody needs musar, it's us. We're on the other side of the Jordan. We're not going to get the shmooze every day. You guys got the rabbis on the other side. You have shmoozes all day long. We'll get a shmooze from 10 rabbis that come to visit us on the other side of the Jordan. This is, we take it. It's like when I go to Seattle every year during Elul. I go all over the country during Elul. But Seattle, they go crazy. Because they say, nobody comes to visit us in the Pacific Northwest. We're Muznach over there, you know. So that's not anybody's
route.
You know, you go to LA, you go back, go up there to the north, Pacific Northwest. They say, oh, Hakam, you didn't forget us. Wow, it means a lot. We need to hear this Torah. You know, we don't get it in these spots. So you appreciate it. No matter what you speak about. I thought, what's the topic? Speak about anything you want to speak about. We're so dry over here. Whatever you talk about, it's Kedai, we'll take it. So that's the same thing over here. They say, listen, when you get 10 rabbis that have come from Eretz Yisrael to give us Torah and Musar, good. Even though today we didn't do the sin, but we remember the rabbi's red face when he got so angry. And what did they tell him? Ve'atem tashuvu ayom ahare Hashem. They tell them, abandon this immediately. Ve'haya atem timredu ayom ba'Hashem. U'mahar el kol adat Yisrael yiksof. If you're going to do this, you're endangering the whole community. U'mahar el kol adat Yisrael yiksof. What do you think? You think you're going to make a sin on this side of the Jordan and it's not going to affect us? We're one community. Your sin on that side, ve'el kol adat Yisrael yiksof. Now how come the rabbis and the Eretz should have said, leave them alone. It's okay. Tolerance. Leave them alone. We do our thing. They didn't live like that in those days. The community felt connected, that they have to keep everybody in line. Look at this here. They said, listen, we know why this happened. This is amazing pasuk based on the way I explained it. We know why this happened. Because you're living in a place of tum'ah, you feel bad what you did. You feel bad. You got into a depression.
You finally got to this place over here, and you see, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You know, finally hit. You know, the rah-rah-rah, we have sheep, we have cattle, now you're there. That's it, 14 years up, now you're there. The first day, what are we doing? What are we doing? What do we do? What do we do? We gave up Eretz Yisrael, we gave up the Mishkan, we gave up everything. So B'nai says, telling them, listen, we know why you're reacting like this. Ve'ach im teme'ah eres ahuzatchem, evru lachem el eres ahuzat Hashem. You can still make this shiva, come back to our side. Come back with us. Don't fall into depression. You can fix yourself. Asher shachan sham mishkan Hashem, ve'ahazu betochenu. Look at that, they're trying to give them a rope. Come back to us. You made a mistake. Fine, Baruch Abba, we'll figure it out. U'bahashem al temrodu. But don't rebel. Ve'otanu al temrodu bibnotechem lachem mizbeyah. Don't build a mizbeyah. Mibal'adem mizbach Hashem Elohenu. Boom. And they, you think they made their point. Halo Achan ben Zerah. They bring another guy in. Achan. Remember Achan? Hazak Baruch. He was in the war. And he took the spoils of the war where he wasn't supposed to. What ended up happening? God got angry at Klal Yisrael. So he said, hey, listen, you forgot what Achan did? Achan made a avon, and he put us in jeopardy. Hello, Achan ben Zerah ma'al ma'al b'chere v'chol adat Yisrael ya ketzef. V'hui shechad. And your whole group. Here what's going on here, Rabotai. Now, based on what we learned above, Rabotai, this is also part of Teshuvat HaMishkan. What was the Avon of Bnei Gad and Bnei Uven? No patience. No patience. Part of working on the Midah of patience is not only that you stayed 14 years on the other side, and not only that you went an extra day, more than you had to, that's for sure. But the patience now is in the midot. Where somebody comes along and gives you a musar, they waited till they finished. When somebody is talking, you don't interrupt them. That's part of the midah of patience. After they finish, like Birkat Kohanim, you wait until the Kohanim finish, then you say Amen. You don't jump the... V'ya'anu b'neiru uvenu b'nei gad, v'hazi shevetam na'ashem, v'idaberu el rashi alfei Yisrael. El Elohim, Adonai El Elohim, Adonai Hu Yodeya, Yisrael Hu Yeda, Im Bemered Ve'im Bema'al, Adonai Al Toshi'enu Hayom Hazeh. God knows Im Bemered Im Bema'al. God knows if our intention was to be Mered. God knows if our intention was to be Ma'al. And if our intention was to be Ma'al, we should not be saved on this day. They said, that's it, let this lightning come down, strike us all dead. If that's what happened over here that we did today, God Almighty knows our intention. That was our intention, to build a mizbeach, to go against God. If that was our intention, Adonai hu yivakesh. Let God punish us now. You know why we did this? What is de'aga? We were worried. This was built out of worry. Worry of what? Mahar yomenu benechem lebanenu. You know we're worried? That your children one day are going to tell our children. Malachem v'lashem elu Yisrael. I'm not worried about this generation. This generation, everybody knows we're one community. I'm worried about the next generation where the children from Eretz Yisrael are going to see the children in Chutz La'aretz and they're going to say, you're not Jewish. You have nothing to do with us. It's going to be like those, you know, those African tribes that you see them doing ritual. They say Shema and all this stuff over there. So they're going to see like, hey, look at these funny guys on the other side of the Jordan. They have like a lot of Jewish rituals. We see them, they wear tefillin like us, like the Chinese. They do some things like us. They eat rice on Pesach like us. But they're not Jewish really. They're not going to know who they are. Ughvul natan Hashem benu benechem, benenu benegad, enachem chalik b'ashem. They're going to tell us, and they're going to tell our children, enachem chalik. And then what's going to end up happening? We're going to be ostracized. We're going to be put out. Vanomis, you know what we said? Na'aseh lanu לבנות את המזבח. We said, let's build the mizbeach. לא לעולה ולא לזבח. Not for קורבנות. כי עד הוא בינינו וביניכם. It's a testimony ובין דורותינו אחרינו for the future generations לעבוד את עבודת השם לפניו בעולותינו שלנו ושלמנו ולא יורכם מעלינו אין לכם חלק בהשם. This is to connect the two sides. So when the children come along and say, who built this? This was built by us to remind ourselves that the people on the other side are connected to the Mizbeach just like you're connected to the Mizbeach. It's a siman that we're not looking at, and that's why we built it on your side. The Malbim says, how come they didn't build it on their side? Because they wanted to say that we're connected to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore the Mizbeach belongs, they were giving like a humility, a priority to that side. ונאמר, והיה כי יאמרו אלינו ודורותינו מחר, ואמרנו, ראו את תמיד מזבח השם שעשו אבותינו. לא כדי built here. Not for עבודה זרה, לא לעולה ולא בזבח. There wasn't even steps on that מזבח. כי עדו בינינו ביניכם. חלילה לנו ממנו למרות, חס ושלום, תמק המרידה, ולשוב עם הרי השם. וישמע פינחס הכהן. Now, as of course he's hearing this, he's putting his sword away. As he's hearing the speech of his, okay, I'll die. Unload your guns. Unload the. Where are you holding them like this? בין אלעזר הכהן מנסים את בני ובין את בני גד ויושבו אותו דבר. They came back to give the report. They're waiting. Ami says on the other side waiting. What's emails they didn't have. ויתב הדבר בעיני בני ישראל ויברכו אלוהים בני ישראל. They blessed God. They says ברוך השם. We thought this is going to be now a division. ולא אמרו לעלות למסבא. They told the army go back to your barracks. ולא אמרו לעלות למסבא לשחט את העל שבני ובין בני גד יושבים שם. ויקראו בינינו ובין מגד למזבח כי עדו בנותינו כי השם הוא אלוהים. They called the Mizbeach of Ed, meaning the Mizbeach of testimony. And that's an incredible PS to the story what happened in our parasha. See, everybody knows the story where it ends, they moved. But this over here is so important that the generation of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, they saw forward. They knew that the G2, G3, the future generations, they're not going to understand what took place over here. And they're going to start to think that the Jewish people on that side over there are like the Muznachim. They're like the, you know, the riffraff. They're like the Erev Rav on that side over there. And all of a sudden they're not going to marry them and they're not going to be involved in them. And then they're going to convince the children that you're really not Jewish. And then you're going to really lose it. So therefore the fathers came. Well, today everybody knows what we're doing. Today everybody knows the story. And therefore they built this earth over here, this mizbeach, to show that we are connected to the other side and we're just as Jewish as the next guy. And when the children say, who built that mizbeach? Your parents built it. Why did they build it in the shape of mizbeach? How come they're not bringing korbanot on it? Because you can only be korbanot in Shiloh. You can only be korban the Beit HaMikdash. We do not serve our own, we don't create a new religion on this side over, even though we have a different location, but the minhag stays the same. That mizbeach was not a mizbeach, it was only lemar'eh. It was only for a show. And when the children would see that, they'd come along and say, even our parents believed in Shiloh and the Mishkan. Yes. Proof of the pudding is, they built it on Eretz Yisrael side, rak lemar'eh. And that would create the unity amongst Christ. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. 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 Amen.